Welcome to the Mommy Matters podcast, where Mommy Matters is a double entendre that states and declares that mommies matter, where we have conversations surrounding mommy matters from conception to pregnancy to postpartum, mother and father wounds, dating, mindfulness and self-care, spirituality, parenting, discipline, legislation, money, and so much more. It is my hope and my prayer that the information that you gather here serves as a blueprint for generational and individual ascension. Enjoy. Welcome, everyone. It is my pleasure today to have our guest, Jamie Fleming of Black Moms Calm. I absolutely love that title and terminology. It's just so inviting and so precious. It just feels good, you know, to hear that phrase in and of itself. So I look forward to sharing and having Jamie share her business, why she came up with it, and how she has been helping moms with maintaining their calm. And so, Jamie, you can introduce yourself.
All right. So I'm Jamie, like you said, and I founded Black Mom's Guide to Calm, and it's a safe space where stressed out mommy and women come to overcome their overwhelm and find calm. It is not just for moms. I do work with, I would say people who don't have biological children, because most women mother in some way. So it's really for all women to learn how to find their calm and find calm in the chaos and just take care of themselves and be well mentally, physically, emotionally. Yes. And I have a 6-year-old daughter too. So, and that's kind of what prompted me to start this whole thing.
So let's talk about that. Prompting, what prompted you to start it? What do you see as the root of why it's even necessary? You know, how, what started it for you?
Well, so I had my daughter in 2013. And if you have kids, you know how you have this expectation of how things will go after the fact. And it did not.
Reality.
Exactly that. And so I was dealing with postpartum depression too, and so it was just all very overwhelming and stressful. But what actually happened was I was trying to snap back, so to speak, tone up, and so I started doing yoga, which led me to learning a little bit more about meditation. And so I started meditation practice and a yoga practice, and I was like, wow, this is great. I feel so much more calm, more centered, more harmonized, and more joyful. And I was like, I want to share this with more women who look like me, because at the time, this was like 2014, 2015, there wasn't a lot of Black women that I saw doing yoga, promoting yoga, meditation, and things like that. So I was like, this is something we need, although we might not realize it. We might not realize we need it. But it's something we need, so I wanted to create a platform to share that with Black women. Because at the time, it was Black Girl Scouts to Calm, so I wanted to share it with Black women and just show them or introduce them to yoga, meditation, things like that to help them find their calm. Mm-hmm. And then in 2018, beginning of 2018, I changed it to Black Moms Guide to Calm because I realized that moms have a different kind of stress and overwhelm than just if you don't have children. So that's why I started that one, or changed it to that. And because a lot of my, the people I work with and the people who follow me or, you know, follow the brand, they're moms. So
right.
I wanted to cater to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that that's definitely a niche that is so critical, you know, and that was my specific reason for starting Mommy Evolve. Cause it was kind of like, well, you know, And I love that it's a holistic approach that gives you the power to do what is necessary to bring yourself back to center and to find your joy. Mm-hmm. I think that's critical. And I mean, I think from my experience with going through postpartum depression as well, a lot of why had to do with perhaps physical wellness, But also mental wellness, mental health, starting with the beliefs that we have around what motherhood is, it should be, and a lot of unreconciled things within our own mother line. Right? So
yes,
the questions that we have, because that was the first thing that came up with me. It's like, wow, my perception of motherhood was limited based on, not, I don't want to think that it's intentional, but I think that in terms of like what my mom did, I'm grateful for whatever she did, because I now know that it was for my highest evolution, for me to transcend certain things and lessons in my life. But at some point we have to have a conversation with ourselves and with our communities about what that looks like, what motherhood looks like, and invite in the myriad of things that it can look like. Right? Yes. Because we end up putting ourselves in this little box and thinking, oh, it should look like this. Oh, if I do that, then I'm not a good mom. Or if I do that, I'm a bad mom. Or, oh, I shouldn't have to ask for that. Or, you know, there's so many different things. So I absolutely love on your Instagram page that you put a lot of great affirmations. I'll be looking at like, yes. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because affirmations are important to building your mental resilience. And then the beauty of it all is that you get to transfer that knowledge to your children.
Exactly.
To any child that you have in your community or around you, whether you're a mother or not. So in your opinion, what is the greatest challenge that mothers face? What is the mindset, the thing that you hear most moms say that you have something to express about?
I would say, I would kind of, what you were saying about thinking you have to be a certain way, so putting these expectations on yourself, or feeling like you're not enough, or that you don't do enough, or that the way you mother is wrong because you're looking at how somebody else does it. Or you see, for example, I'm not, I call these the women who do, no shade or anything like that, because I love it, but like the women who do the projects, like from Pinterest, I call them Pinterest moms. I'm not a Pinterest mom, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So I have found myself, like, especially since my daughter started school, like, you know, seeing all these projects, and I'm like, I'm not that mom, though. So you know, is something wrong with me? But no, that's just not, you know, my thing. And you know, just being okay with like how you mother, and knowing that you're the best mother for your child, and that you are doing your best, and your best is good enough. And that might vary from day to day, and that's fine, but just know that you're doing your best. You're doing the best you can at the moment.
I love that. I think that that's something that every mother, father needs to hear. In this world in general, where we're constantly on this grind culture and go, 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 and if you don't do 27 hours of work straight, then there's something wrong with you. You know, and it's like, that sounds very harsh, and no.
Right, exactly.
And the beauty of being your own self and just, you know, being okay with that is that you have to build a community of mothers, no matter what, a community of people around you. And so you have to trust that you're going to get, your child is going to get the variety of personalities, the variety of lessons, the variety of people to interact with. You don't have to be all things, all of the things.
Exactly. Yes. Right? Yes.
And that's something that you can be intentional about too. Right? You can be intentional.
Right.
All right. I know who I am. Okay.
Right. And that's not my wheelhouse, making, doing projects. Sorry, I said craft. That's not my thing, but we'll do something. We'll work it out some kind of way.
Okay. But good. Listen, and this too, your auntie over there like to do crafts.
If you right. Craft. Yes. Yes.
Your auntie can help you out. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, I lean on my village of aunties heavily.
Absolutely.
I have to say. Yes.
Grandparents, all that.
And I have no shame about it whatsoever. But that's something that we should expect. We should start to learn to expect as mothers. And it's something that our community should learn to give. This morning, a friend of mine, in fact, I did an Instagram Live with a friend of mine, and we were talking about the magic of elephants, and she sent me, and elephants are a powerful animal to study, because they're matriarchal, I should say matrilineal, because people have a different idea about matriarch and matrilineal. And so, you know, the way that they surround and care for and nurture an elephant after she has a baby, that's something that's ingrained also in our human experience, but we've just fallen off from doing that, right?
Right.
And so we have to find ways to get back to that understanding and that knowledge, you know, to build more of our resilience. So let's talk about your calm, because calm for you is C period A period L period. So it means something. It's an acronym for something. So let's talk about that.
Okay, so we'll start with the C. And so, and but just to back up right quick, I created this for a workshop that I did last year. And so, yeah. So C is clarity. So you want clarity around your stresses and your stress signals. Because to talk about stresses, a lot of times we don't know. We feel stress, right? And I'm going to come into, you know, how you can recognize it, but we feel stress, but we don't know what the cause is a lot of times. And it might be because you have a lot going on, so you don't really pay attention or any other reason. But some common stresses, it might be your family, work, your health, somebody else's health, a big life change like divorce or a death in the family, or even a birth can be stressful because it's changing things in your life. Right. And then something else that I hadn't had to mention before, but like a global pandemic, that could be a big stressor, you know, something totally unexpected.
Now we know.
Right. Those are just a few things. And then you, of course, add on top of the pandemic to your life, your children, your spouse or partner. So all those things can cause you stress. So if you know what your stress is, which I'll come to in a second, but you can know whether you can do something about it or if it's something you need to learn how to accept. And then with the stress signals, a lot of times, again, we have these signals from our body that we don't pay attention to. But it can be signaling that you are stressed out, especially if it's a consistent issue. So it might be high blood pressure, headaches or migraines, aches and pains in your body, muscle tension. If you find it hard to focus or concentrate on a specific task, that could be a sign that you're stressed. If you sigh a lot, like you're just so tired, that's a sign of stress. Tiredness is a sign of stress. It not is. Being able to sleep. So those are just,
yes. And it's those so prevalent in our society. I don't think that people realize that it's not normal. Like to not sleep, like you need to sleep at night.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So if you find yourself having these different signals, well, you might not notice them because you're so busy with life and doing things. So it's important to slow down so you can recognize what's stressing you and like what is your body telling you, so to speak. So, or even what your mind is telling you, if you have racing thoughts, if you overthink, if you tend to be anxious, those are signs that you're stressed out. So the
I used to always have all of those, by the way.
I still have all of those,
on a much smaller scale.
Right. And I think something else important to mention is because of how we live, you probably won't be able to eliminate all your stress, but you can find ways to cope with it and to lessen it. So it's not affecting you as much and it's not as severe. So the A is two things. Awareness of, again, what you can and can't change. Another cause of stress is trying to change things that you have no control over. So you need to understand what it is you can handle, what you can't. And if you have trouble with that, because a lot of times we think we can change something or we might think we can change someone, that's not possible. So really maybe journal about the things that are stressing you and think about what you can or can't change. And then if you can't change something, you have to learn to accept what is. And even if it's something you can change, you might have to accept it for what it is in this moment, and then work to make things better.
Yes.
But I think acceptance is a huge thing, because I've been somebody, and I still struggle with this, or have challenges with wanting to control everything and thinking I can fix everything and change everything. But this journey has taught me that's not possible. And I think the pandemic, to keep bringing it up, I know, but it's really shown us, we don't have control over a lot of things, and a lot of things we just have to accept as it is.
It's a port. This pandemic, I was just talking on the phone about this. This pandemic for me has been a portal to really having to sit with myself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Really having to sit with my thoughts, sit with why I function the way that I do, why, you know, and really, and this is years in the making, because I've been doing this work for years, and I'm still
absolutely
like, ooh,
right.
Why you do that, girl?
And I thought that was past this.
Right. And now it's just unlayering more. But I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful that, you know, because I know people have other stresses, financial, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful that I don't have to deal with that, so that I can safely be there. And I love that you said that sometimes you have to accept things that you can't control, or accept things that are in this moment, and then create a plan for, you know, so a lot of people leaving their job, for example, is a huge thing. And I knew that was something I wanted to do, but I had to get out of debt. I had to save. You know what I'm saying? But that going through that process was empowering for me, because it was like I was taking charge of my life. So when it was time for me, I accepted that I hated the job and I wanted to go.
I was
like, you know what? This is empowering for me to save and do these things so I can move out of this. Or if you're in a relationship you don't love, same thing. Do what you need to do to move out of it safely. But you have to, you know, appreciate yourself enough to do that. So excellent. I love it.
So the L is for learning ways to find your calm. And I'll just go through a few that I like to use. So meditation is my favorite. And I know a lot of people have challenges around starting a meditation practice, but what I always say is start small.
Right.
2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You can do it daily or every other day, whatever works for you. And just be consistent with it. That will help you not only find calm, but also get in the habit of meditating and creating a practice. I like to do yoga. That's another practice I enjoy doing. And you don't have to do, I know a lot of classes are like 30 minutes, an hour. You can do 10 minutes of yoga, 5 minutes, whatever you need to do, whatever works best for you. Yes.
Stretch is heaven. You hear me?
Exactly. You can even do it in bed, like right before you go to sleep. I like to do it in bed before I go to sleep. And if it's, it helps me sleep better too. So in with yoga, moving your body. If yoga's not your thing, that's fine. But move your body in some way. Go for a walk. Do some YouTube videos, exercises, something like that. Journaling is another one of my favorite ways to find calm. And if you find that journaling is a bit of a challenge for you, I just encourage you to just write whatever comes to mind, whatever you're thinking or feeling. Just start writing. Just let it all come out. Don't try not to think about what you're writing, or try to make it, you know, sometimes, even if we're by ourselves, sometimes we try to make it, you know, this perfect thing. Yeah.
It's fine. Nobody's going to see this but you, boo-boo.
Yeah, and you can, and when you're done, you can rip it up and throw it away if you want to.
Whatever you want to do, it's just to get it out. It's really
get it out.
Critical, because that's why sometimes we have those racing thoughts, because we don't get out, you know what I'm saying? What's in our mind, and we've learned, unfortunately, to internalize and keep things in that we're feeling, and the more we get it out, the more we learn to be sophisticated with how we get it out, right?
Yes.
So we learn the different modalities that are useful to us. We learn, you know, that one, we don't need to hold it in, and that holding it in hurts us physically, literally, physically,
yes,
emotionally,
it will.
Mentally, energetically. It doesn't benefit us. So
Right. Yeah. So do a brain dump. Let it all out. Don't think about spelling, punctuation, none of that. Just let it all out. And if you need to, throw it away at the end. But that helps a lot. Using affirmations, like you mentioned earlier, I love affirmations. I've been using them for a very long time. Not only can you use them for calm, but just like any area of your life that you want to speak life into, use affirmations for that. And self-care is another way to find your calm, because if you're not prioritizing your needs and making sure you're taken care of, and I don't mean just baths or massages or facials and all that. Those are important too, but like making sure that you're eating well, or as well as possible, moving your body, taking care of your mental health and your emotional health as well, and putting yourself and your needs first before anybody else's. So those are just a few ways that you can start to find your calm.
But let's talk about these default self-care activities. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, I'm a fan of all of them.
Right, me too. Yeah.
Okay. However, it's not a it's almost like a cover-up,
mm-hmm,
for handling what's going on inside of you. So I would be remiss if I didn't say also that, you know, sometimes you need psychotherapy to start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of therapy, honestly. I'm gonna be honest, mm-hmm, with you, unless I have a particular kind of therapist. All of my therapists have always had to be spiritually centered. Mm-hmm. Because I personally believe, from my work, and you may have seen this too, Jamie, that a lot of what we suffer from is a disconnect from our source, right?
Absolutely,
a disconnect, yeah, from knowing who we are at our core, a disconnect from our truth, right? So we're living, right, in a bunch of facts, like, okay, we're in a pandemic, but we're not dead. Like, we don't have the illness ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we can still thrive. You know, we are still thriving.
Right. Yes.
Right. So it's important to note that all of your self-care practices should be something that connects you to the deeper truth of who you are.
Right.
So it doesn't even matter what you do. If you like to go, I love to walk, and I take, mm-hmm, long walks, okay? Mm-hmm. I like to just meander, listen to my little, you know, thing, whatever podcast,
mm-hmm,
or some music. I like ratchet music, y'all. So I listen to Cardi B, but I also listen to, you know, Kiara Sheard. So I listen,
exactly,
to everything.
Yeah. Same here.
So whatever connects you to your soul. The only thing for me, in my opinion, that you should always ask yourself is, what do I need to do to bring me closer to my highest self?
Yes, I love that.
That's the question. That is the question for the deepest calm. It ain't, mm-hmm, gonna make no sense to a lot of people, as long as it makes sense to you.
Right, yeah. So that's why I said, if yoga doesn't work, meditation, whatever, but I do, whatever it is that bring that, I think it was Oprah who talks about being in a state of flow. Well, she's not the only one, but talks about being in a state of flow. Whatever that is for you. Now, for me, that is meditation and yoga, journaling. But it might be, like you said, walking or something else. Whatever it is, whatever way that you find that helps you feel your best and to be your best, then do that as a part of taking care of yourself.
And your meditation is going to be different from others. So
and that too, yes.
Walking is the meditation for me.
Like, exactly.
Meditation, yeah, doesn't have to be you sitting there with your hands, you know, mm-hmm, pressed together.
Right.
And humming. You know, it could be you, a song coming up in your spirit and you singing that song out loud.
Right. Anything you do can be a meditative experience if you are in the moment. If you're cleaning up, that could be a meditative experience.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. It's a practice of, mm-hmm, staying in your calm. That's, mm-hmm, that's what that is.
Absolutely.
All So yes, I think that that's critical to, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You're at the M.
you're fine. Okay. So the M, two things. Well, I'll go with what we were just talking about, mindfulness. So being in the moment and accepting what is in the moment, not, because this is what mindfulness really is, being in the moment, not judging what's going on around you, but just taking it in and letting it be what it is in that moment. And also, whatever it is you're doing, being fully there, fully present in whatever you're doing. And that includes, it as uncomfortable as it is, sitting with your feelings, your emotions, because now, especially right now, we are feeling a lot of different things. Yes. And it's tempting to kind of distract ourselves or, you know, not deal with it. But yes, it's going to come up. I mean, you can only suppress your emotions for so long before they come up some kind of way. So mindfulness, a part of mindfulness is being able to feel your feelings at least for a little bit, and then maybe choosing something different, but at least acknowledging and feeling what you feel, and also again being in the present moment with whatever is going on, accepting what is. And then the other part of M is the motivation. So what is motivating you to find your calm? What is your why, so to speak? Because if you don't, I feel like if you don't have a reason to find your calm, it might be, when times are hard, it might be challenging for you to, whatever your practice is, to incorporate the practice or to do the practice. So it could be you want to be calm to show your children, you know, a different way. Maybe you were not raised in a calm environment or household and you want to show your children there's a different way. Maybe you want to do it for yourself because, you know, when you have those moments of peace and calm that you feel better, you know, in every way, you feel more harmonized and centered. So maybe that's why you want to do it. Maybe you have high blood pressure and your doctor said you need to figure out ways to de-stress, lessen your stress. So maybe that's what it is, or you want to be healthier. So kind of think about what is your reasoning for wanting to be more calm and have more inner peace, whatever that might be. And I think that will help you to continue on with your path and your journey and to continue with your practices, because every day, because there are some days I don't feel like, yeah, you know, meditating, doing yoga, journaling, or whatever the case may be. So I have to remember that. And then sometimes I don't do it because I'll just be like, you know, it's okay. But then a lot of times I have to remember, if I do this, it's going to benefit me in the long run. So let me go ahead and do it.
And it also helps you to measure, the motivation helps you to measure from where you started to where you go.
Right.
I constantly have to remind myself, man, I used to wake up and my brain would be, you know, going. I would have all this anxiety, you know, I would let stuff stay in my mind forever and be all stressed or eating terribly because of it. And now I'm so much more present with myself that I know that, okay, this is triggering me. Mm-hmm. And I need to step back, or, you know, why am I waking up with these racing thoughts and how can I remedy that?
Right.
And all of those things. So I love that motivation part. It's sort of like having an intention behind a practice. And a huge piece, specifically for Black women, Black mothers, is not judging what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that in my whole entire spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's church. Yes. That's church.
Yes.
And it is because I feel like a lot of us, as Black women, we take so much on. Mm-hmm. We feel like we have to be the bearers of everything for everybody. I feel like we have to earn pleasure.
Yes. You have to earn your right to take a break. To rest.
Take a break to rest.
No.
But the truth of the matter is the other way around. People have to earn the right to take your energy from you.
Mm-hmm.
You give so much of it and you give it well. And right. So we have to start to reconsider that, specifically as Black women, because I know that that was part of what, you know, my personal journey, like just wanting to, feeling like I had to give myself away so much. And it's a huge, as I always say, self-care, self-love, because, you know, when you love yourself, you're not going to deplete yourself and then go to something or to someone depleted. You know, you're not going to be in a, you're not going to be out of alignment with yourself and then try to be in alignment with somebody else. That's not integritous, right?
Right.
So I think that this is, you know, practicing self-care, having the intention to practice self-care, knowing that you are deserving of the highest care.
Just because.
You don't need a reason. Qualification. You don't need another degree first. You don't need, you know.
To work all day, 10 hours a day. Then you can, no. Just because.
Just
do it in the morning, then you'll know. Right when you wake up, because you don't have to do anything else but wake up and do your thing and then do everything else.
You deserve it. You deserve that, because that is human. That is a part of what we need to do. And if you look, I always connect this to spirituality and religion and such. If you look in your spiritual texts, people weren't running around like Flo Jo doing all this work.
Right.
They were in meditation. They were in prayer a lot.
Jesus took 40 days to go away. I mean...
Okay. Jesus stayed on vacation.
Yeah.
Okay. Stayed fasted and praying.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just consider that. However you interpret that. And so, you know, we have to think that if we want to be more like these people that we admire, that we have to take on some of their actions and activities. And to me, that's self-care. To me.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree.
So I love the acronym CALM. I think that it's very powerful and very useful to women. Very clear, you know, sometimes we need that clarity. So thank you for creating that and sharing that with us.
Of course. Yes.
Is there anything else that you would like to add? Tell us about any activities or events that you have going on. I know things are kind of a little bit limited these days, but you know, hopefully you have something that you can share with the people.
Yeah. So I recently started doing guided meditations on Facebook and Instagram weekly. So if you follow me on either one or both, you can check out those every week. I do have a website, blackmomsgotto.com, where you can get more resources and tips for finding calm, videos, things like that. And I have the Black Mom Calm Shop, which has the Black Girls Got to Calm book, and affirmation cards, and some digital products too to help women find their calm. I recently started doing, well, I have an event planned for the 28th. It's an online event, and I think I'm going to be doing virtual meditations that go deeper and longer. So if it you're somebody who's new to meditation or wants to get started with the practice, that might be something for you. And you can learn more about all those things at blackmomsgottocalm.com.
Excellent. Wonderful. So I know that that will feed the soul of plenty of people. And so I just want to thank you again for your time and your energy to share that with the listeners. And please, everyone, connect with Jamie on Instagram. Your Instagram handle is
Black Mom Calm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Facebook is Black Mom's Guide to Calm. But I think if you go facebook.com/blackmomcalm, it'll come up too. Oh, and I have a Facebook group. Sorry about that. I do the Black Mom Calm Sister Circle. So I post tips and things in there, and I go live in there too. So there's that as well.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it. Okay. So you have support, because oftentimes we need that support. That's a form of self-care too. In fact, an incredible one.
Yes.
That support through Black Mom Calm, and that information that you need to activate that self-care in this time.
Yes.
Trust me, you will not ever regret taking care of yourself.
Absolutely.
You just won't.
You will not.
Okay, that's, and I don't say too many things definitively, but that I can say definitively.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay. So thank you all for listening. And thank you, Jamie, so much for your time and your energy. And stay tuned for some more on the podcast. Take care, everyone. Bye. Did you like that? I know it was as informative for you as it was for me. Look, this is a process for all of us. And to keep this process going, I would love to invite you to donate to our podcast. We want to continue to give you high-level content, beautiful content that enlightens and inspires and broadens your vision to elevate you and evolve. So please feel free to go to the podcast page at anchor.fm/mommymatters. We would love to hear your questions and comments as well so that we can discuss them in future podcasts. And you can email that to momevolve@gmail.com. You can also visit the website and send your comments there. www.mommyevolve.com. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Peace and love.